Brother Tim Allen to open in prayer.
Father, great is thy faithfulness. Father, thank you for the privilege of allowing us to humbly bow before thee with our petitions and our cares. You know them already. Thank you for that kind of relationship, something the world is craving and soon will be able to have. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and abundant grace. Father, we pray that your Spirit will be in this room, that you will be with Brother Freeman as he gives us an hour talk that he's spent many hours with thee preparing. We ask forgiveness for where we fall short. We long for thy kingdom to come and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for these faithful ones here and throughout the world. Watch over them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Tim, Sister Pam. I just have an announcement before I announce the subject. I want to let you know that all the discourses that have happened so far and will happen for the balance of the convention are available on our North Seattle Bible Student website. Now, you can either search this, as which I normally do, or you could go straight to the URL, nsbible.org. If you want to sign up to receive a CD copy, you should speak to Brother Lawrence Kirkham, and he could provide a CD copy for you. Now for the announcement of the subject, we have Brother Freeman Thompson with us again, and his subject for this hour is building our faith structure. Building our faith structure. Brother Freeman.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Again, we're very appreciative of this opportunity to be with you, dear friends, here in North Seattle. It has been a real blessing. And the food that has been served from here has been delicious. Developing our faith structure. Well, the first thing that one does before starting to erect a building, I would think that we would employ an architect. And these are the things that we're going to address, and we're going to look at the builder. Look at some of the blueprints and some of the construction. Some of the articles that we will touch upon, we may not touch upon all of them, but site selection is very important too. And the material that we use in building our faith structure is very important. Also, we have to make sure that we count the cost, do we not? Okay. And what are some of the requirements in preparation? So we have a number of articles here from the reprints. God's Building, Faith Structure, House on the Rocks. All of these we're going to address in our time that has been allotted. Our faith structure. We know without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Our Lord likens our Christian faith to a house and represents the trials and the end of this gospel age as a great storm which will beat upon every house, with the result that all that are not founded upon the rock, that all that are founded upon the rock will stand. All founded upon the sand will collapse. So it is reasonable that God should test severely the faith and the love of those who have been invited to be joint heirs with his son. They must be loyal and trustful to the last degree. In 1 Peter 1:7, we find that it is your faith that is on trial now. In the calmer days, you were quietly laying the foundation of a knowledge of the truth. And now, we are in the furnace to be proved. So what should we do? Summon all your courage. Fortify your patience. Nerve yourself to endurance. Hold fast to your hope. No man can build a proper life unless he has some foundation, some doctrine, some faith. A man with no faith and with no hope is sure to be lacking, is sure to be correspondingly lacking in character. So we believe that the important thing is that we should have a proper foundation, a proper faith, a proper doctrine upon which to build character and good works. Our Lord's illustration in Luke 6, verses 47 and 48, shows the possibility of building upon two kinds of foundation. One worthy and one that is unworthy. But notice that this parable does not represent the heathen in any sense of the word. This is not being addressed to those. This particular parable is addressed to him that heareth these sayings of mine and who understands my teachings. And you and I know that the world is not on trial for life or death everlasting at this particular point in time. Eventually, yes, to them, it will be given to know what you and I know now. So this parable clearly finds its two classes and those who have heard the good tidings and who are building their hopes upon God's promises. The hopes that are built upon the Lord's promises and unaccompanied by works are hopes built upon the sand. And it is only a matter of time until the great testing time shall come, and such hopes will be shown to be worse than useless. They will be shown to have deceived their possessor, who thought he or she safe in his assurances of a share in the kingdom. Such hopes, such faith, as fail to obediently strive to do the Lord's will, such faith and hopes as consider that obedience is not essential to a place in the kingdom, are falsely founded, and their overthrow will come with great disaster. But on the contrary, those who build with obedience, their hearts, as well as their tongues, confessing and honoring the Lord, their deeds corroborating their faith, and their fruits bearing testimony of their vital relationship with the Lord, it is these who shall pass through all the storms of life and shall never be moved. Never be shaken. Why? Because they are built upon the proper foundation. God's building, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Again, if anyone would put up a great building, they would, at the very beginning, employ an architect. And that architect would draw up plans and specifications. And we have this right here, brethren. It's in here, the terms, conditions. But this architect is to draw up plans and specifications, and in the plan, everything would be arranged beforehand. And in the plan, we would find the size and the location of the various rooms, the character of the material that is going to be used, etc. All of this would be foreknown and forestated in order that whosoever would read the specifications and see the architect's drawings would know exactly what kind of building that was going to be erected. We're going to talk about the quarry a little bit later. I'll close. Just so with our Creator, the Almighty God Jehovah, who is a great architect and builder. And his entire plan for mankind was prearranged before the foundation of the world. Let's look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things long past, and I'm reading out of the NAS. For I am God, and there is no other. And I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done. Saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Chapter 45, verse 5, 21 and 22. Again, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Verse 21 and 22, that is. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from old? Who has long declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And that's all in the uppercase, Lord. And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. So here we see God has a very special purpose in everything that he has made. And we also can look at 45:18, verses 18 and 12, if you like to, and look at 42:5. He has had a blessing in view for all of his intelligent creatures. In Genesis 12:3, and thy seed, again, shall how many be blessed? All the families of the earth. 22:18, all the nations of the earth to be blessed in due time. Our God has not been working in a haphazard manner, and he doesn't work that way. Doubtful of the outcome of his plans and his purposes. As it once seemed, maybe to some of you in ignorance, I know it was to me, I had no idea. In Isaiah 55:8-11, what has he promised? Isaiah 55:8-11. Here he tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, the emphasis. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. That's a very powerful promise, dear one. Not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. So is it not very comforting to know that our Heavenly Father has infinite wisdom and power, as well as infinite justice and love? A lot of scriptures there. We're not going to go into them for the sake of time. No one would sit down, hopefully no one, without counting the cost. Our dear brother James evidently has counted the cost. Our dear brother made it very plain in the baptismal discourse this morning, this afternoon. For which of you, intending, and this is in Luke 14, verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Some of the comments of the pastor here is, the Lord would not have anyone take upon himself the responsibilities of this relationship without due deliberation and forethought. But But if you can afford it, the investment will bring great returns. If you can afford it, the investment will bring good returns. Our Lord, I believe it's in Hebrews 12, if I'm not mistaken, for the joy that was set before him. What did he do? Endured the cross, the shame, the ignominy. But look at the return. I may use the secular term. What an investment. What an investment. This has been extended to you. You have been invited to reign with our Lord in fulfillment. Romans 8:17, but we have to suffer with him. There's conditions. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. But Genesis 12:3, as we stated a moment ago, in thy seed, the seed of blessing that we're looking at here, or have been invited to bless all the rest of their fellow man. What a prospect, brethren. What a prospect. But it's conditional. It is conditional. One would not be certain of success in any earthly venture who did not apply time, means, heart, and mind to acquiring of his object. This is going to play a very important, this is going to be the important thing right here. Keep thine heart. With all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. And he has asked us to do what? My son, give me thine heart. So we don't have anything left anymore. It's not ours. It is not ours anymore. So what should we do? We have to keep it. It will determine whether we fall in this group or in that group, or in the group that goes all the way out. It will determine, the heart will determine the condition, I mean where we fall, our position in the kingdom. Again, one would not be certain of success in any earthly venture who did not apply time, means, heart, and mind to the acquiring of his object that he has in view. Can less be expected of him who lives for God? May I ask? The material that's going to be used in this building, it is important to use strong and lasting materials in the construction of a building. This is especially true when it comes to the development of our faith. The elements of our faith may also be illustrated by lasting materials such as the gold, the silver, or precious stones. These are strong. They also have value. On the other hand, and this is from 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. We were there a moment ago, and I just assumed you were still there. On the other hand, wood, hay, and stubble are not good for building. Why? Because there is no substance to them. And for this purpose, they are practically worthless. Remember at the beginning I started off with, we're talking about an architect. What is an architect? One whose profession is to design and draw up the plans for buildings, etc., and supervise their construction. Two, one who devises plans or creates anything. Let's look at a few scriptures in this regard of the architect, the great architect. Isaiah 45:12. I don't think we quoted that one a moment ago. We're close. Does this not confirm the great architect who it is in here, the writer here, Isaiah? It is I, speaking of the Almighty God, Jehovah, who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their host. 42:5 of the same book. We're talking about the great architect, and we're just quoting some scriptures that corroborate what we're saying. Thus says the Lord, the God, thus says God the Lord, and here again, that's all capitalized, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. This does not sound like evolution to me, brother. This is why we see the ignorance today in denying the first cause. Let's look at another scripture, 45:18, since we're close there. And here again, all we're doing is to corroborate who the architect is. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is the God. Not a God, but he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. For how long? Well, if we went to the Psalms, it's for everlasting. He didn't create it in vain. He created it to be inhabited. I was taught all my life that this was going to be destroyed by fire in the nominal system. I didn't buy into it, but I was always afraid because Freeman Thompson knew he was not a good person. And he realized then that he fell far short. And I fall far short today, dear brethren. It's a striving each day for me. We were having some discussions a little bit earlier, and I tell the friends that I have enough problems with this brother right here every day. The world, the flesh, the adversary. It's a constant fight. Satan never gives up. We have to watch and pray. But we're so thankful that we have that which has been provided to make our calling and election sure. We have the robe of righteousness that has been given to us through the merit of our Lord. And we also have the throne of grace. And we have the best cleaner that one could have. And we can come how often? We can come boldly in just on occasion? No, brethren. In every time of need. Let's look at the builder. John 1, 3. The architect, we have a lot more scriptures there, but for time, we're going to move. John 1, 3. The builder. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. I like my other version, but I have the NAS here in front of me. I'm more familiar with it. But here, our Lord, and let's go to Ephesians, 1 Corinthians 8, 6. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, the builder. And one Lord, it's in the Lord capital, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. The builder, the architect, the builder. Hebrews 1, 2. Hebrews 1, 2. Well, let's read verse 1, put it in the context. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many positions and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The builder. We have many more scriptures, but we're going to continue on. A builder, which we didn't define, let's define it, even though I'm ahead of myself, and I do this quite often, one who or that which builds, one who contracts for and directs the work of the building. Let's look at the builder again here in Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. As we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 8:6, all things are of the Father, all things are by the Son. The power, we know, was of the Father, but is exercised through the Son. Again, without him, not anything was made. Let's look at the temple building. We're not going back to read all of that in Solomon. And that's in reprint 3283 is what I'm reading from. Reprint 3283. The work of gathering the various stones for the temple has been in progress throughout this gospel age. As not any and every stone was taken for Solomon's temple, but only those of specific dimensions and peculiar pattern, aren't we referred to as a peculiar people? Only those of specific dimensions and peculiar pattern, in accordance with the plan. So, it is with the anatypical, the living stones. Only a certain class are approached at all. And only those which being cut out, again, only those which being cut out are first roughly quarried. They are roughly quarried out and found suitable in character and dimensions, are tooled at all. And only those which under the tool yield proper results and can be conformed to the intended pattern will ultimately find their place in the glorious temple, which our Lord, as the great master builder, is constructing. The scripture in Romans, is it not Romans? I believe it's Romans. Romans 12:1. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Satan himself may be used of the Lord through various agents for the chiseling and the polishing and fitting and preparing of these living stones for their future glorious positions. Our brother alluded to that a little bit earlier. Temptations in Matthew 4. The three temptations of our Lord. So viewed in this light, what a satisfaction may come from the trials and difficulties which all the Lord's people are sure to experience, and without some of which they would be justified in fearing that they are not sons but illegitimate. Hebrews
12:8.
Paul tells us, I don't have the scripture here in front of me, but it is through much tribulation that one enters the kingdom of heaven. Were we not told that the way is hard that leads to life and a whole lot of people find it? No, brethren. Our brother yesterday, I believe Brother Dan, if I'm not mistaken, quoted Luke 12:32, or maybe it was Brother Harry, I don't recall which one. But Luke 12:32, fear not, big flock. No, he didn't say that, did he? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Many are called. Few are chosen. Many are called. Few are chosen. I used to hear these words in the religious system where I came out of. I made the mistake of going back in there, not knowing that I was in 1804 to come, not in 1878, this is, I know what occurred there then, but to come out of her, my people. I didn't know. But I'm so thankful. I asked God for forgiveness once. I asked him for forgiveness, I said once, back there then. in that particular time frame. But no, I have to keep going to the throne of grace, brother. But I did ask that, and I thought I was doing the right thing by going back into the system. I was already out. But asking for forgiveness, and I will do anything you want me to do. And I go back in. But the Lord knew my heart. And he knew what I was doing was in ignorance. So what had to happen? I had to be forced out. And I look back today and I see the Lord's providence in that regard. Well, brethren, what a wonderful prospect that you and I have been given. To our understanding of the teaching of Scripture, and I'm still quoting from 3283. I'm sorry, I got off somewhere else. The fact that the materials for Solomon's temple were prepared before its construction began and were so perfectly fitted that no iron tool needed to be used in the construction. So this indicates that the antitype, the gospel age, is now seen continuing the preparation of the various stones which, when ready, were marked for the Lord to their positions in the temple. And they fell asleep in Jesus until the time for the first resurrection, the time for the construction of the temple. And I think most of us would agree that would be the sleeping saints were raised in 1870. And today, and hopefully, Revelations 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They don't have to wait. Isn't that a blessing? Will you be part of that? We've been invited to be part of that, brethren. Once we finish our course. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. from henceforth, 1878. And those sleeping saints, we believe, have been raised. And for those, from that point on, are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Think about that. If we are faithful unto death, that will apply to us. As I stated, I do get away from my script, but to our understanding, we are now living in that particular time, the time frame since 1878. The living stones of the past have been brought together, and the temple is merely waiting for the few living stones, which are still under process of trial and discipline, chiseling and polishing. Let us remember, brethren, our threefold relationship then to this particular temple, to this temple. One, you and I are still in process of preparation as living stones. Two, as members of the royal priesthood carrying the ark, we are marching from the tabernacle into the temple condition. Some of our number have already entered in, and some are still on the way. Three, as the Lord's people, the time has come for us to know, to sing with the Spirit in understanding the new song of divine mercy, justice, love, and truth. Let us be faithful in each of these respects, fulfilling our parts, and ere long our course will be ended, and the glory of the Lord will fill the temple. That's that particular reprint article I quoted. Very quickly, we're going to look at a little bit of 5713, reprint 5713. Preparation of the living stone. A very beautiful thought is brought to our attention in 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and 9. Here, Peter tells us that the various members of the Church of Christ, the saints, are living stones, which are in process of chiseling and polishing, preparatory to the uniting of all these in one grand, glorious temple of God beyond the veil. In and out enduring the chiseling and polishing will be discarded as unfit for the glorious temple. The bringing together of these living stones beyond the veil will be by the resurrection power of which we read that his stones were prepared at the quarry and then finally assembled for the construction of the temple, and that they were so perfectly shaped and marked for their various places that they came together without the sound of a hammer, with need for chiseling or for other labor upon them at the time of the construction. So the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that the church is God's workmanship, and his work will be so perfectly accomplished that there will be no need of rectification or alteration beyond the veil. It is a viewpoint that is especially interesting and profitable to the Lord's people. it is this viewpoint, rather, that is especially interesting and profitable to the Lord's people. Such of them as can realize that they have been called of God to the high calling, to membership in the temple, can fully appreciate thereafter the necessity for the trials and difficulties of life which are shaping them, fitting them for heavenly glory, honor, and immortality. These are the all things working together for good to them that love God, preparing them for the spiritual blessings and services for the future in Romans 8:28. So, brethren, and our time is up here, when we think of the church as a temple under construction, it should impress upon us the thought that there is a future work to be accomplished. The question is asked, why construct a temple and there's going to be no use for it? Why build a temple and there will be no use for it? A beautiful, and 5003, you all might want to look at that, but we're not going because the time is up. The Palace of Blessedness is a very beautiful, 5003. And I'll just read just a little bit of it right quick. The foundation of the Palace of Blessedness is humility. I heard something to that effect today. None can ever hope for a share in the Messianic kingdom except as he or she is humble-minded. Our Lord tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And to such and such only will this great blessing come. Dear brethren, we love you. Keep us in your prayers as we remember you. May the Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother Freeman, for those encouraging, tender words to build us up. Think about the illustration of Solomon's temple. If you go back and study that, kind of ties in a little bit well with our subject this morning, because if you recall, the temple was dedicated before it was completed. And there's a very nice picture of the overlapping of the ages. I couldn't help but thinking about 2 Peter 1, as Brother Freeman was talking about how we are established in the rock of present truth, is what 2 Peter 1 tells us. And our faith is built upon that. And the fruits and graces of the Spirit are so lovely added to that foundation. We appreciate the lesson so much, Brother Freeman. Bring the love of Carl and Marge and Cheryl Hagensack. And I'd also like to bring whatever love you have out there right now. I'll take this opportunity. Yes, Sister Bonnie. Well done. And back here, Sister Kathy. Thank you. And over here, Sister.
Sister Dorothy Weber.
Sister Margaret.
Brother David and Sister Shirley Bruce, Sister Anastasia Sheffelbaum, and Sister Karen Chiarella, who is sitting Channel 11.
Thank you. Sister Linda up here. I'm over here to Sister Rosalie. I'll get back to you, Brother Jerry.
Brother John, Sister Karen Baker.
Yes, and I'll go backwards to, I'm kind of going like. Thank you. And Brother Peter, do you have some online? Okay. Oh, I prompted this. Oh, you see? I didn't get the connection there. Now I know. Huh?
Gave them the board of Brother Larry and Sister Debbie Welling.
I think, well, you ask for love from the brethren, you get it, don't you? There's not a lot of... okay, well, we're going to keep going for just a little bit here. I'm panning this way, so I'm going to kind of try to get this side of the room settled down. Brother Ed. Thank you. Brother Richard, and then back to Brother Peter. Thank you. Okay, Brother Tim.
My wife texted me and wanted her love sent.
Thank you very much. Up here, Sister Amanda.
Sister Sandy Davenport of Colorado wanted her special love given.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm on this side of the room now. You're gonna have to wait. I'll come back if you up here, Sister Anne.
Sister Mary Alchoy and the Winnipeg Brethren.
Thank you. Back of the room. Did I ever get you, Sister Rosalie? Okay, thank you. Over here. Yes. Thank you. Sister Chris?
Brother and Sister Garlick, Winnie and Randy Garlick, and Sister Alice Schneider, Sister Joy Campbell, and Brother Mark.
Brother Frank?
Even though the water didn't drop, but we were on the phone with Brother Lee and Brother Millen. They passed their love to everybody, as well as Sister Ruth Paul passes their love to Brother Millen.
Thank you. Over here, Sister Ann. Thank you. Sister Beth.
My class didn't know I was going to be here, but Columbus, Ohio, Malaysia, I'm sure.
Thank you. Brother Jason. Thank you. Sister Kristen. Thank you. Brother Daniel. Thank you. Brother John, did you check in?
Yeah. The Langley Quad sent their love to Brother Albert, Sister John Squad, Sister Alice Cricket, and
thank you. Sister Pam, was that a repeat?
No. My brother more.
Thank you. Okay, brother, we spent quite a while there, but I think it's a nice thing to do to bring all that love and know that everybody's online and thinking about us here in this convention. It's not just us. There's a whole body out there with similar experiences to us. Okay, before I close, I want to mention to you that we're going to go to dinner after this. You know the routine. We have that facility to us until 7 o'clock, so you can sit around and fellowship until 7 o'clock, and then we have to leave to go to our separate homes. That's the deadline there. Brother Freeman has selected for his closing hymn, hymn number 197, Victorious Faith.
Oh, for faith and will not stream.
Our most kind and loving, gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before Thee, before the throne of grace, asking for Thy continued blessings upon the convention, thanking You for the many blessings that we have received. Father, we realize all things come from Thee, and no man receiveth anything except it be given by Thee. We're thankful again for the robe of righteousness that has been provided through the merit of our Lord. And we're thankful, Father, for the throne of grace and that we're able to come boldly in every time of need. We ask Thy blessings upon our dear ones the world over, especially those undergoing special trial at this time. Father, we ask Thy blessings upon the temporal provisions that are being provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.